Ken Feinberg is one of the nation's foremost mediators, arbitrators, and experts in other forms of alternative dispute resolution and negotiation strategy. He's been involved in the Penn State sex abuse scandal, arbitrating that BP oil spill, arbitrating the funds, distributing funds, the mass shooting at Virginia Tech in Colorado, Sandy Hook Elementary School, September 11th payout fund. And now he's going to bring us up to date on the anniversary here of the 2017 Las Vegas shooting. Mr. Feinberg is consistently retained by Fortune 500 companies, nationally recognized plaintiff counsel, insurers, government agencies, and state and federal courts to design, implement, and administer settlement solutions, serving either as a neutral or as a settlement counsel to one of the parties. Also author of the book, Who Gets What? Fair Compensation After Tragedy and Upheaval. Sounds like my last escrow. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Ken Feinberg.
Thank you very much.
That introduction was as long as the segment will be.
Well, hopefully we can accelerate things.
Yeah, exactly. So just by coincidence, you were on last year, October 2nd, the day after the Las Vegas shooting. And then there, all we did was talk about other tragedies and what you do. So let's jump right in and tell us how, if and how you got involved with Las Vegas.
I received a telephone call from public officials in Las Vegas asking if I would consult with them in designing, implementing, and administering a compensation program that could be used to pay eligible victims of the shootings during that Harvest concert.
And where was this money coming from?
All private donations from around the country. Never underestimate the charitable impulse of the American people. It's astounding to me that after a tragedy like Las Vegas, the Orlando Pulse nightclub, 9/11, Boston Marathon bombings, the Virginia Tech shootings, it's amazing to me how unsolicited private donations come in from around the world, around the country certainly, all seeking to help innocent victims.
You get to see a charitable side of, and now predominantly from the country, but also worldwide?
That's right, but it's predominantly from American people who, wherever they may live in 50 states, they hear about it, they watch it on television, they are deeply troubled by it, the serendipitous nature of life and death. They are but for fortune. And they sit down, they write out a check, and they send it in.
And it's pretty, not too long after a tragedy like this occurs, they can pretty much go online or call someone, and then someone like you is orchestrating, and there's a place to receive said funds.
That's correct. 30 million Las Vegas, 30 million Orlando, Florida nightclub shooting, 61 million the Boston Marathon bombings, 7 billion the 9/11 attacks. So it's amazing how the public steps up.
And again, those numbers are all donations?
No, all donations except the 9/11, the $7.1 billion was all not donations, but it was all public taxpayer money. No private money in 9/11 from the airlines or the World Trade Center or the security guard companies or Massport. All came from the public treasury used to compensate victims of the 9/11 attacks.
And that was an intentional, conscious effort to avoid? How did it end up like that?
That's right. Congress passed a law 13 days after 9/11 in an attempt to avoid a lot of lawsuits against the airlines that would bring them to their knees. And Congress decided a better way would be to compensate the victims directly through public funds, taxpayer money. And over 33 months, I paid out over $7 billion and to about 5,300 families or injured victims.
And you work, I don't know if it was different with the 9/11 fund, because that was a government body. These other funds that you distribute for these catastrophes, you do this without charging, or how does that work?
No, that's right. For 9/11... Las Vegas, Orlando, Florida, the Boston Marathon, I think it would be rather inappropriate for me to expect to get paid for helping people in grief. I just don't think it would sit well with them, with the American people, or with my own conscience. So programs like that, I'm glad to do that, like most citizens would, pro bono without compensation.
Right. Right, and thankfully you're a busy, successful attorney, and you make a living. And then you, but it takes time, and you're busy today working. And I appreciate your time right now. My guest, Ken Feinberg, attorney out of Washington D.C., who acts as a distributor of funds. You know, you mentioned 61 million Boston Marathon, 30 million for Las Vegas. Is that what the total ended
correct.
Up being?
Roughly correct.
And 30 million. You mentioned another one that
Pulse nightclub in Orlando.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that well. And you said for eligible victims, is there some kind of a difficult way to decide who's eligible?
No, in most of these charitable compensation programs, you try and develop a program, as we did in these areas, Vegas and Orlando and in Boston Marathon. All lives are equal. So if somebody died on one of these attacks, the family should get the same amount, whether the victim was a stockbroker or a waiter or a busboy. Now, it gets more complicated, of course, in 9/11 or in the BP oil spill, where you're expecting the victim or his family or her family to sign a release that they won't sue. Now, that gets more complicated because then everybody's going to get a different amount of money in order to incentivize them not to sue. But in these other public programs, all lives are equal.
Do you come out to, you didn't code out to Vegas, did you?
I did not have to visit Vegas. I was in Orlando and in Boston, of course, and 9/11, of course.
And you mentioned that in the 9/11 and the BP oil spill, which people signed a release, and in these other instances, since it's just public donated money,
right.
It's just distributed, there's no release.
That's right, it's a gift.
It's a gift, and they don't have to pay taxes on it?
Usually not.
I guess that might depend on maybe no federal taxes.
That's right, and the nature of the death, et cetera. There's usually no tax consequences.
Is the $30 million for Vegas, is it entirely distributed 1 year later?
Yes. My understanding is it's been distributed to all eligible victims who lost loved ones were physically injured on that day. And that money has been distributed.
Now, you don't keep track of an instance like this where lawsuits might occur after the fact?
No. That's not part of my watch. My watch is to help people get compensated as soon as they can. If they want to turn around and use that money and hire a lawyer and sue the hotel or whoever, that's entirely up to them. A lot of people don't do that. They accept the money and be done with it. But if that's their desire, if they want to litigate further, that's entirely up to them.
That may or may not happen, and I can't even, you know, I shouldn't even offer an opinion on the hotel. It seemed like some people, not victims necessarily, but news were saying that, you know, maybe they could have done things differently and could have been responsible. It seemed to be such a fluke event. I don't know how one could hold the hotel responsible. Well, it's I so appreciate your time, and Ken Feinberg, he wrote a book. I don't know when did you write this book?
Well, I wrote What Is Life Worth, my study and diary of the 9/11 attacks. That was released in 2006. I wrote a second book, Who Gets What? In times of crisis and financial upheaval, and that came out, I believe, in 2013.
Okay, so that's more recent, and What Is Life Worth more focused solely on 9/11, and then the book Who Gets What, Fair
right.
Compensation After Tragedy and Upheaval. Well, 30. I don't remember what were the number of. Was it like 58 victims in Vegas, or is I got that?
I believe yeah, that's right. I believe in Las Vegas there was something like 59 dead, and in Orlando 49 dead, 48 dead. In 9/11, of course, 2,800 dead.
And how about the Boston Marathon?
Four dead and about 240 injured physically with shrapnel or bomb fragments or what have you.
Some very seriously injured.
One person lost both limbs, and there were two other people that lost... one person lost both limbs, and there were, I think, 14 or 15 that lost one limb.
And what do you attribute to the fact that it was 61 million, double what Vegas and Pulse are?
You never know on these things. I think Mayor Menino and Governor Deval Patrick had a large part in urging people from around the country to solicit, to seek, to mail in contributions. I also think in Boston there were companies, you know, like John Hancock and Liberty Mutual and Bain Capital that all stepped up and gave, you know, million-dollar gifts to help those in their own urban setting.
Yeah, and maybe plus the it was more of a, maybe it became more of a patriotic thing.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned these tragedies of the injured. I just by happenstance watched a movie last night on Netflix called Travis, A Soldier's Story.
Hmm.
Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
It's just a young kid growing up in the Midwest, and he ended up now, he had a landmine in Afghanistan, lost both legs and both arms.
Yeah.
And due to today's technology, he's actually walking, and he's got most of one arm, so he was able to, and he's got a big fund and a thing that he does, and he helps injured veterans, and Travis... A Soldier's Story. It's really
I'll watch
good.
It.
Yeah, no, really, really worth watching. Well, listen, I know you're, even though it's a holiday, you're working real hard. Anything that you want to just close out with on either Las Vegas specifically? Part of me hopes I never talk to you again.
Well, I pick up the newspaper hoping the same thing, but life has a way of throwing curveballs at everybody, and we'll just wait and see.
And you're obviously a very busy attorney, and just in a half minute, do you focus on anything specific in what you do outside?
Oh, you mean how do I try and maintain my peace of mind and stability?
Well, no, I mean, how do you make a living? What are you doing in your real job?
Well, don't forget, in the BP oil spill, I was paid by BP, in the General Motors ignition switch program, had to sign a release. I get paid by GP, from General Motors. So in many of these programs where there's a well-heeled defendant, I'm paid. But on these patriotic programs, I don't think it's appropriate.
I got you. Well, listen, Ken Feinberg, his latest book, Who Gets What? Fair Compensation After Tragedy and Upheaval. And then going back to 2006, he published a book, What is Life Worth? Based on the 9/11 tragedy and the distribution of... $7 billion?
$7.1 billion, yes.
$7.1 billion. Ken Feinberg, out of Washington, D.C., thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good day.
Bye-bye. Wow. God, it's just, it's interesting. He doesn't have anything to do with, you know, what happened, with the details of it all. And so he's just, but he ends up helping all these people. And we had to... keep it very short with Ken. I had more questions I would have asked him about, you know, what did he say, 30 million and about 58 or 59 dead. And then also he mentioned the number of people that were injured. So, a couple of hundred maybe. And I meant to tell him and add that one of the people that died, a woman, lived in Carpinteria, probably saw it in the front page of the news press, and she was actually a very close friend of a friend of mine, not a close friend of mine, but you know I'm friends with her, and it really hit home, and it's really you know, you read about these things in the paper, and they're always distant, and you wince, you feel bad, you talk about it, but suddenly when someone you know actually dies in this instance, it was just it just really brings it to home, and Vegas is kind of close to us, and it was just so, and they still have no answer as to why this guy did this. This whole issue with his it was, I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend, went out of the country, and he had sent her some money, and it's still a mystery. It's just so much good in the world, and then these things that go on. But again, the movie that I saw, Travis, A Soldier's Story, I think his name might be Travis Hill, which unfortunately there's some young kid actor with the same name. This guy was about 25, 26 years old. He was a 6'3", 250-pound football player, and he went to college, and he went to a community college playing football, and it just wasn't, school wasn't working for him, so he joined the 82nd Airborne, which is, I guess, a division that does the real tough work, and he did several tours in Afghanistan, and on his third tour, dropped his backpack and hit a IUD. Is it IUD?
IED.
IED, sorry. And it was a fluke thing because the guys were running their, you know, their search wand, and they all stopped, and he just dropped it right by. Just amazing. But to watch this guy come back, and the moving story where he's got a, you know, like a 6-month-old, 9-month-old little baby girl. He just got married. He married the sister of one of the guys in his troop because they met on MySpace back in the days before Facebook. And so it's just an amazing story, and ending in such a way where this guy's running marathons and just, God, it's just, you know, but he said, honestly, he said, it wasn't for my wife and kid. It might have been tough for me to have a reason to come back. And so people with the tragedy and facing that. And I wonder, you know, he's a veteran and he's got this fund now. He lives in Maine, and there's a, you Google it, you'll find out. You can make a contribution or do something for him. I think it's Travis Hill, but the name of the movie, just Google Travis, : A Soldier's Story. And he set this thing up in Maine. They raised a bunch of money, and it's a like a resort destination for veterans who have lost limbs and are tragically impaired. So it sounds like a really good thing to follow up on. Okay. Well, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, and let's see, I might have oh, here's something, and hopefully the next segment we can talk about something that won't depress the hell out of you. You know what a self-closing door is? Mm-hmm. And what if you can't open a self-closing door? So generally they're required... I don't know commercially when they're required, but in a home, if you have an attached garage and the door would usually open up into a kitchen or a laundry room, it's kind of a common place for a door, garage door. It's got to be a fire door, and it's got to be self-closing. If you have a door opening from your house into a bedroom, don't tell anybody because it's not legal. So I was in a house that had a self-closing door, and it was on a bathroom. Why would you have a self-closing door on a bathroom? I'll tell you why when we come back.